Welcome everybody to the Canadian Sports Bet Podcast. It's March 4th. We've got a lot to get through. We were just talking before we came on the air, John, about the debut. It's opening weekend, red carpet time for the new Batman movie. We're pumped about that. So we have to talk about the Raptors today and the game last night and the impending game tonight, which I'm actually going to be in attendance at, which I will be attending. And we were going to talk about our Leafs, the horrible performance in their most recent game as well. A couple of stinkers by our Toronto-based teams. But we have some NHL wagering advice that you're going to take us through as well with respect to potential Stanley Cup futures. So before we get into that, John, the new Batman movie, you had to remind me of the name of the actor, the new star. I can barely keep track of it, but it's Robert Pattinson. Is that right?
It is. He's the Batman. The Batman, by the way.
The Batman. So we started with, of course, Adam West in the old 60s TV series. Then we moved on to Michael Keaton, of course, the OG in the Batman movie from 1988, which... really kick things off, rehabilitating the superhero movie genre from those horrible Superman movies that had come out. The first two were okay, and then it went downhill fast. Richard Pryor's in there somehow, and disastrous. But anyway, so the Batman series, Michael Keaton, followed by, you want to take me through them, John, or you want me to do it?
No, you.
Val Kilmer, yes. George Clooney.
Yes.
Obviously, Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. He's my personal fave. Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight series. And then here we are with Robert Pattinson. Did I leave any out, John?
Well, Michael Keaton is still the original, the OG, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that
rank
was
them
so
for me, John. Go, putting you on the spot. We didn't talk about this. Rank them for me, 1 through 5.
Well, no, and I was going to start. I mean, Christian Bale is one of my favorite actors, so yes. He'd be up there. But the only reason why Keaton is because to me that was ground zero.
Yes.
Right. That was year zero. And he might not have been the best Batman subsequently, but that was the original. And remember, it was very benign. Jack Nicholson, et cetera, et cetera. It was the greatest, but that spawned it all, Matt. And I have a special sort of spot in my on my mind when it comes to Batman as a result of that movie.
I agree. Everything about it, just all the art direction and everything about the visuals, the Batmobile and the villains, like you say, Jack Nicholson, good reference. And it was all awesome. And that was, they sort of went downhill after that with the sequels, but then they resurrected with the Christian Bale. But I love Michael Keaton in the role. Why didn't he stay with it? Like, why did they replace him with Clooney? And am I forgetting one? It was just George Clooney, Val Kilmer. How was it, right?
Was O'Donnell? Chris O'Donnell?
He was Robin,
he was
yeah.
Robin, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, and the guy that is directing it is the guy that did those Planet of the Apes movies there the last few years ago, Matt. And so it should be good. $200 million some budget. So they're expecting big numbers.
Who's the villain in this one?
The Riddler, I think.
Uh-oh. That can't be good. There's no way.
Let's see here. Yeah, the Riddler. The Riddler. It's
as long as he doesn't wear the unitard with the question marks on it. That's all. Why and the cane and but the unitard with the question marks. Like, come on, that's ridiculous. They got to update that, right?
Yeah.
No one wants to see that.
You know, it's Riddler. Yeah. So there's a Penguin too. Colin Farrell's the Penguin.
Colin Farrell, huh? Yeah. That should be interesting.
So, anyways, there's it's the Batman, so it's gonna be we're looking forward to it.
Who plays the Riddler?
Paul Dano.
Oh right. Oh no. He was the preacher in There Will Be Blood, and he was actually Brian Wilson in that Beach Boys movie, which was pretty good. Mm-hmm. So we'll hope for a good performance from all those guys, but enough of that silliness, John. Fun to review. We do love the odd Superman or superhero movie, excuse me. But speaking of heroes, John, how about our Raptors last night losing again to the Pistons in front of a full crowd at the Scotiabank Arena? What would you rank their performance last night? How would you rank their performance?
Very, very low. It was a game they needed to win, Matt. The Pistons have improved. Okay, they're better. They won 4 of their last 6 or something like that now. But the Raptors were no good last night. You know, I give some props to Scottie's in good form and Pascal's was reasonable and Malachi Flynn was pretty good. But the rest of them not for me, especially GTJ. You know, just wasn't just he's just not been himself since the All-Star break. Did you see
4 of 23?
There you go, Matt. 4 of 23.
3 of 15 from three.
Right. He just keeps firing and firing and firing, and that's probably what he's been coached and instructed to do. But you know, that's the reason why they lost. And I view it in this as a lost opportunity kind of game. They can beat that team at home. God, they're probably what, 8-point favorites, something like that. That was a bad loss. They should have won it. It makes their road to the playoffs or to the play-in games a little rockier at a team that they should have beaten. Because, hey, we talked about it. Like, their strength of schedule is very favorable compared to the other teams. It was one of your stats there a couple of three, four shows ago, Matt. And it looks good going forward. But this was the situation that they could take advantage of that. A team that is literally in the bottom five of the league, they got to beat that team despite their improving form.
We're doing Casey own space in Nick Nurse's head, apparently. Nick Nurse, a lot of complaining about the whistle last night. There were some bad calls, but is that really the reason the Raptors lost last night? I know no Fred, no OG, and no Thaddeus Johnson. Thad Young also missing. Hopefully they're back tonight. Well, at least Fred and Thad are back in there. We need them desperately. You take away a couple starters in OG and Fred, and that's going to impact the quality of the team. The Pistons are firing on all cylinders, but they were the better team on the floor last night, sadly. From a betting perspective, one of the factors you can look at, which is so, at first glance, so oversimplified, but I hate to say that it actually bears out to be true, is that unbelievably high percentage of teams that when teams win, they have made more three-pointers almost every time. So just looking at the box score, so the Pistons, even though they were just under 30% from three, they hit 11 three-pointers. Raptors hit 7 in the game, John. I mean, there's been games where Fred alone had 10. So get Fred back in there, and what does it automatically do? As we all know, it takes pressure off other guys defensively. So are the struggles of GTJ related to Fred's absence? Quite possibly. He's getting not the sort of clean, open looks that he was getting previously. And OG also against a big physical team like the Pistons, which they certainly are, we need him in there to push guys around. He's one of the more physical players that we have, despite his facial expressions that he tends to have and his demeanor generally. He's actually a very strong physical presence in there. Pascal, a little too much 1-5, although his shooting percentage was relatively good. Delano Banton had a couple sort of critical turnovers down the stretch. Malachi Flynn, one more time, John, explain to me why he didn't play for the first three quarters of the season. There's about 20 games left. It's fair to say, like, he was riveted to the bench for about 80% of the games. He was a DNP coach's decision. Mm-hmm. And now he looks like one of the best point guards in the league. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. Now he looks like one of the best point guards in the league. And he didn't touch the floor, so Fred could play 42 minutes a game and now have to sit out for 2 weeks because of a sore knee. Mm-hmm. And we're all supposed to believe in everything Nick decides to do. Like, have you ever seen Malachi in there? Or maybe this is a little too strong, but I just feel like he always looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. And why isn't he playing? We felt that way since the preseason. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know what the plan is. Like, why are we leading the league in minutes played for Fred VanVleet when Malachi's sitting there? You put him in the game and he looks spectacular.
Right.
What's the thinking there?
I think he's probably got a little more offensive flair than the average player. But I think he sort of struggles a little bit on the defensive end. You know, he's certainly slighter than Freddie, who isn't. But I think that's probably where and he's a reasonable defensive player. But that's where he's struggles compared to Freddie, I think. And that's where Coach Nurse is looking at. But that said, we talked about this on the pod, Matt. You know, 5, 6, 8 shows ago, saying like, just to take the edge off, all he has to beat is weaker backup point guards, you know, and he can do that certainly for, geez, what did he pay, 23 minutes last night? Why can't he do that for 15 minutes a night and produce as he produces? So, I agree with you overall. He's a, you know, positive box score metric for me last night. I think that's the story there. Freddie gets back, and if Malachi now gets some more run while Freddie is there, rather than Freddie playing 42 minutes, he plays 38 minutes or whatever, I think that will be valuable.
So turning our attention to the game in the context of the Raptors discussion, John, tonight they again are hosting in front of a full crowd. The Orlando Magic, obviously at 15-48, not one of the stronger teams in the league, but a lot of strong young players there. You got your Jalen Suggs, who was picked, he was supposed to be picked by the Raptors. Let's not forget that. But people surprised, the Raptors surprised people by taking Scottie ahead of him.
Scottie's better.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to strike that up again tonight at the Scotiabank. And, of course, Markelle Fultz, if I'm not wrong, John, I believe he's the number one overall pick for the Sixers. Part of that process where they're just tanking year after year after year. Now they got James Harden and Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and all the rest of them. But they Markelle Fultz, a little bit of a recovery maybe to a rehabilitation of his career after some dealings with that adversity in Philadelphia and then injury adversity in Orlando. But hopefully he can recapture some of that old magic, no pun intended. But the for the line for tonight, John, we don't know if Fred's playing. We don't know if Thad Young's playing. As we mentioned, OG is out for at least a couple of weeks, it looks like. So what's your initial take on this game, John? I see the line listed around the -8 in favor of the Raptors heading into this.
I heated the way the Raptors played last night, Matt, which sort of signals probably a better effort tonight. And I think there's probably Orlando is ready to rise up and show some improved play. I think the Fultz return to action will be helpful. He was a good player for them, as you said, resurrected his career in Orlando. You know, I think there's something to that. So those are obviously opposing points. So what do you have to do there? You got the Raptors -8. I have the game shorter than 8. I think it's probably more of an Orlando play tonight. I have the game like 6 or something. 6, whatever. Let's call it 6. So I think Orlando, I mean, Fultz is a good player. I think he's a good addition. And my player perspective, my player model doesn't even have Fultz in there. So and he's a much improved player. Like if I'm playing the game, I'm playing the Magic. But a focused Raptors team, preferably if Freddie's in there. In the end, it's no play for me. I prefer, if you're asking me a pool pick, I'd be on the Magic. If the Raptors play like they played last night, the Magic will win. You know, that's yep. How at what level I'm at now.
I'm looking at good stuff, John. I'm looking at some of the stats that I can find on Oddshark for this matchup. Let me hit you with a couple that strike me as interesting, John. So there's a ranking in each of these statistical categories for the team. Let's see how they compare. So in scoring, so offense, Orlando ranks 28th in the league. How do you like that one? So it might correlate with their record to some degree. Raptors 18th. Field goal percentage. So Orlando ranks 27th in the league in field goal percentage. Guess where the Raptors are? How about 26th?
Really?
Yeah. Three-point percentage. Orlando, again, consistent with their record, 27th overall in the NBA in three-point percentage. Raptors at 13th, not bad. A lot of that's Fred.
Where they are in the standings, right? Really.
Mid-tier. Here's the one that I really wanted that's sticking in my craw. Free throw percentage. Orlando Magic 10th. Guess where Toronto is?
I don't know.
24th.
Oh, boy.
Pascal never makes two free throws. Well, not never, but it's frustrating to watch. Gary Trent can hit free throws, and it seems like he's the only one, and it's not good. Scottie was missing them last night, and it's
very good late last night.
24th in the NBA in free throw. That's horrible. Couple other interesting points here. So the record in the last 10 matchups between these two teams, Orlando 0-10. So the Raptors have won against Orlando 10 straight games. Against the spread, Raptors have covered 9 out of the last 10 matchups. So some interesting things to look at there. We like to compare the net rating for the two teams. That's available on basketballreference.com. We like to compare the basketball power index ratings that are on ESPN.com, and they also give you some insight, sort of taking it back, widening the lens, John, as they say. They give you some insight into how the sports books establish lines for these games, and are there things being considered by different sports books? So the FanDuel's, Twin Towers, John, etc. of the world. And all these different sports books, and when they set the line, they're looking at all of these things. They're coming up with a number, but really their goal is trying to draw equal interest or equal amount of money on both sides of a bet. So if they set the line too low and there's too much money coming on one side of a bet, They'll move the line until the betting money that's laid down is more balanced, right, John? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the case. And I mean, in terms of tonight's game, like, I mean, we're going to talk about a little bit in our hockey segment, Matt. But you know, the statistics you've cited, you know, are season long statistics. If you want to really sharpen your handicapping, you know, start looking at statistics that might include the last 10 games or the last month of the season or whatever it is, because that might be a better portrayal about how a team is. And I think that's the case here with Orlando. To take this back out, it's like that's what you should look at. You got to look at teams, how they did in the month of February, let's say, and that might be their true concept. So, and we love the term delta around here, Matt, and mm-hmm. you, if there's a perspective that Orlando is better in the last 10 games compared to our season long stats, you've got an advantage there. The line is reflected on how they've been playing for the whole season. Toronto -8, that seems like the kind of number it should be. But if you start looking at some statistics recently and have the players that have been playing well for them in previous years, like we mentioned with Foles, you've got a team that's better than their rating. So the sports books to your specific question about and point about moving money, Matt, like they won't see that comparatively to you as the handicapper. To me, that's an opportunity to bet. Now, I've said all this, and it looks like I'm trying to build the case for Orlando. I'm not betting Orlando because I want to see the Raptors win.
Right? Yeah.
But if you're cold and don't care about cheering and want to cash a ticket, Orlando seems like the right side here.
All right, and you would wait, right, John, until to see who's yeah.
You wait to know the players. Unfortunately, in basketball, we're finding this situation where, I mean, there's might be juicy numbers out there, but you don't know who's playing. Like, Freddie plays or not, you know, isn't that impactful on the
it's
line?
It's huge. It's right? huge.
So I think you have to wait in current context basketball. I think you have to wait until you know who's playing in the game. Not great in terms of line shopping and finding deals, but you got to wait until you know who's playing.
And you just sort of look on Twitter, or where do you usually, like in the game, like the shoot around, they usually announce it like an hour before, right?
Right. No, I mean, minutes, sometimes minutes before. You know, I mean, no, you got to look at the shoot around early on. I mean, you just can go to like a RotoWire or NBA.com and just, you know, just reload the injury report. But your specific point is right. Just go to Twitter and just search a player like Van Vliet. And click that the latest, and somebody's going to come up like the TSN guy, Josh Lewenberg, or Michael Grange, or even the Raptors' own account. It's going to say, you know, Freddie's out for tonight, or you know, he's limited, or whatever he is. And I think you have to take that into account. Except that the odds makers are also taking that into account. Keep that in mind.
What about Will Liu or Eric Smith? Of course, Josh Lewenberg and Michael Grange. Yes, those are all great resources. Good stuff, brother. Let's keep going. We want to hit on our Leafs and some trends that you've identified to have worked out from a practical perspective in the past in terms of identified long shots, Stanley Cup favorites. Where do you want to start, John? You want to start with the Leafs quickly? I'm looking at their forward lines and the production thereby. You want to touch that first, or you want to go to the...
I'll come up with the broader picture first, Matt. Mm-hmm. On this note, it is one has to remember, and we just touched on it here. You do have to start looking at teams that are starting to play better than they were in the early part of the season. How many times? Well, occasionally we've talked about the St. Louis Blues the year they won the Stanley Cup. They were literally in last place in the whole league. Okay, now is a Phoenix or Arizona, whatever. Or an Anaheim or Detroit, are they about to rise up?
Seems hard to believe. Yes,
and win the Stanley.
Sorry,
Cup?
The Blues are in last place. When?
I mean, I seem to remember it was end of part of December.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's how crazy that rise was. Hmm. Now, did they suffer some injuries, and you know, were they at full strength? Was Jordan Binnington who Jordan Binnington was? No, of course not. But you've got to sort of see those teams that are rising up. There's lots of people that thought the Blues could win the Stanley Cup at the end of the season just because of their last 2 months and 3 months of play. So the task here is to look at those teams that might be like this. Just go, just take a snapshot of what a team was at January 1, January 15. There's all kinds of websites that allow you to do that. You can just take the snapshot of the team of, you know, for their last 15 games and compare that to the whole rest of the season. And if you start seeing teams that are rising up that are better than they were at the in the first half of the season, look at to play on those teams. The market will not have caught up to that generally. So I think that's the approach you have to make. It's like, and I'm not specifically touting anybody, but it happened with St. Louis, and you see it with all kinds of teams the last part of the season.
One that you mentioned or brought up last episode, John, that I'm looking at to your point here. Mm-hmm. Play like you don't know the answer. So, do you know how many, let me tell you how many wins the Montreal Canadiens have this year? 14. Mm-hmm. Guess their record in their last 10 games? 6-4. So they had 8 wins before their last 10 games. So they were 8-30 until their last 10 games, and now they're 14-34. Yeah. So to your point about a team that is on a season analysis, extremely low in the standings, but they're on the charge, John. What about the Canadiens for the Stanley Cup this year? I like it. Shea Weber coming back. Carey Price coming back. Mm. Cole Caulfield revitalized his career with the appointment of Martin St. Louis, and crazier things have happened. Come on.
They're 5,000-1 to win the Stanley Cup.
There you go. I like it.
So, yeah, but no. What
if the Leafs play them in the playoffs again? And they lose.
We joke. They're not going to get there this year. But that's the approach. Okay? So you're not it's March. So you're not going to find the same deal on teams that you would see in January. Mm. But like, who are these teams, these sub-teams? Like, everybody knows what a Carolina is. Everybody knows what a Tampa Bay is, Florida, and the Leafs. It's hard seeing any one of those four teams not being the title. But, I mean, like, and they're all shown in the odds. What does a Boston Bruins at 17-1 look like? What do a Washington Capitals look like? And I'm not even trying to tout these teams, Matt. I'm just trying to explain.
What about the Canucks?
I'll deal with the West in a second.
Yep.
And it's a really good point. But just look at how those teams have played since, whatever, January 15. You mean the timing is not, the concept is more important than the timing. Now, going to the West, you mean, who doesn't like Colorado? Like, of course, they're the favorites for the Cup. They're a very good team. Who are the second choices, Matt? Vegas and Calgary, you know, St. Louis. I mean, like, who would be on Vegas to win the Cup right now? Nobody. Mm. So,
what Flames 8-1-1 in their last 10, John.
So I'll defer to you on the Vancouver Canucks. 75.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say they're 7-3 over their last 10. What do you see there for odds?
You know what it is? And Bruce Boudreau has done something for that team.
Love it. Yeah.
What was his nickname? I'm sorry. I've forgotten his name. He got a funny, wacky name. Anyways, Bruce Boudreau, a former Toronto Maple Leaf, of course, way back in the day. And so he is a professional coach that's won hundreds of games, and he's perfect for this team. Is that the most insane ticket that one could have at 75-1, and the end of that group is
75-1 on the Canucks.
75-1. So that's four. There's only about 15 teams that can win it, really, based on the odds. It really drops off after Winnipeg at 80-1, and then it jumps to the Sharks at 250-1.
Jump the Shark.
Oh no!
Sorry.
Oh no! So dismiss all of those teams, and they're the weak teams. We've talked about it 100 times. The Detroits, the the Devils, the Ottawas, the Buffaloes, even though they beat the Leafs the other night, which awful. We talked about how they laid an egg there. So there is nothing wrong with a Vancouver ticket because they are so much better since Bruce Boudreau came aboard. All right? So ultimately,
Gabby is his nickname, John.
There you go. I just looked it up. Gabby.
Known for being very open and talkative, Boudreau picked up the nickname Gabby from a trainer when he was a teenager. Did you know that, John? Okay, go ahead.
So there you go. So anyways, I walked away from your question, Matt. I brought it to a bigger point about start looking at conceptually through this lens, and you might land a couple of long shot tickets. So So just think of me, like I'm excited, my own tooting my own horn. I'm excited about my 22-1 ticket on the Florida Panthers. Okay, mm-hmm. I'll worry about if the Leafs and them play in the Eastern Conference final. I'll worry about that then. But I'm very excited about that particular ticket.
So when did you get that?
That was the day before the season started. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
22-1.
Yeah, and I remember I also bet the New Jersey Devils to win the cup at 70-1. So, but being fully transparent, I've made two future book bets in the gray market. No, one of them might have been a ProLine Plus actually. I'm probably going to stay outside of this market for now. But to me, if somebody told me I put a ticket on, put a bet on Vancouver at 75-1, would not be the craziest thing I ever saw.
You kicked me down a rabbit hole here, John, on Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah.
During his minor league season with the NAHL, who the heck's that? Johnstown Jets in 1975-76, Boudreau had a minor role in the movie Slapshot.
Really?
Appearing briefly in the number 7 green jersey of the Hyannisport Presidents against the Hanson brothers and the rest of the Charlestown Chiefs. Oh, how about that little nugget?
I love that.
That's some good trivia, eh?
I think, obviously, classic.
Played 17 seasons in the minors. Ranks 8th all-time in minor league scoring with 1,368 points. 13th in both goals and assists. Who knew, John? Not me.
But and he's a competent coach. Like, you know, cutting to the chase, he is a competent coach. He's won lots of games with multiple teams. He's taken teams to the Stanley Cup, the final. I don't think he's got one.
I hate to do this to you, but
yep.
I just can't. Go. You ready for this?
Yes.
Crazier than Slapshot? Ready for this? There's a picture of him with a full head of hair and a goofy grin on his face. 2 weeks before the 1975 NHL draft, Boudreau and two teammates were arrested for indecent exposure for streaking in a bar in Toronto. Doesn't that, like, will you ever look at him again?
Nope.
Without
nope. Wacky
thinking
kids,
of that.
Especially from that era, the mid-70s, you know, because that was streaking era, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. He says, quote, "We went into one bathroom and I stripped naked and put my underwear over my head. We ran through the bar. Stupid me, I tripped and went headfirst through the band's bass drum. We ran to the other bathroom. We were getting dressed, laughing our heads off, when we heard a knock on the door. Two plainclothes cops happened to be in the bar, checking for underage drinking, and saw us streak. Great luck, right? ? So there you go. How will I ever take him seriously?
Gabby
Not that
Boudreau.
I did to this point anyway, but so, I guess, yeah.
Anyway, so he's a competent coach. I think 75-1 on the Canucks is a very reasonable bet in this context. It's the example that we can put out that says, yeah, okay, well, it makes sense. Last couple of weeks, last 2 months, whatever your time frame is, has a team played better? Well, yeah, they have. How about the Vancouver Canucks? And it's pointed right to a one person that has improved that team. So bet them.
Okay, I'm with you, brother. Great point. And what else do you want to take us out on? Anything else high-level hockey betting, sort of top things that come to your mind? We talked about leaders in expected goals. We see our Leafs there still hanging in. Expected goal percentage at fourth. I know that's one of your favorite stats. Mm-hmm. And maybe just close out with a couple words on expected goals and how you relate it to bets.
Again, it's my favorite thing, expected goals. It's a nice fundamental thing. There's a chart there that allows you to see how good the quality of the chances are. Are they somebody standing in front of the net with an open net has got a very high expected goal quotient. And obviously a shot from your own blue line has got next to nothing. That seems fundamental to me. That seems good. So if a team is skating circles around another team and ready to put pucks in the net, really close to the net, well, that works. So, yeah, no, I'm not worried about the Leafs, Matt. I think I don't mind the lull. You've heard me talk this way many times, saying, like, you need to have a lull. You need to have a natural lull and lay some eggs. And they did that that putrid Buffalo game the other night. Mm-hmm.
Sheldon Keefe kicked over the garbage can after the game, I heard.
Is that right? Yeah. And I mean, some of the other losses weren't so bad, but do they have to sharpen up in the latter part of April? Of course they do. But you know, the odd loss to Buffalo, it doesn't matter. They're in the playoffs. They're going to play some good team in the playoffs. They just have to be in peak form. You know, you can doo-doo all over the goaltending, but all that has to happen is one of those guys gets hot and they are on their way.
Agreed, and should be an exciting time coming down the stretch, and we've talked at length about the prospects for Auston Matthews in the Hart Trophy, the Lady Bing Trophy, and of course the Rocket Richard Trophy for leading goal scorer. He's in contention. Lots of interesting storylines to watch down the stretch. So we will be back next week. We have the March Madness is quickly approaching, John. We want to break down some of that. We have the NHL trade deadline coming up, and we have the home stretch in both the NHL and the NBA to focus in on. And so much to cover, not enough time. We have some exciting developments here at our show that we're thrilled to share with everybody, but we're not quite, it's just percolating, John. We're not quite ready to announce it, but is it going to be, is it fair to say?
Please. No.
Is it going to be the biggest announcement of any kind by anyone in the history of man? Yes, sir.
Well, for you and I, it could be.
Right? That's right. So we're looking forward to that. Okay, everyone, we're just going to remind you to have fun when you're doing this and bet responsibly, right?
Yes, for sure, Matt. We're just trying to, it's just entertainment. We're just fooling around here, having some fun. Might as well try to cash a ticket, too.
From your lips to God's ears, is that the expression? Okay, brother, enjoyed the discussion.
Me
I
too,
think
man,
you,
thanks.
As always, said it all. Have a great weekend, and we are out, John. Peace.